Nos atiende Dani Citrinovics. Él es miembro del Instituto de Estudios de Seguridad Nacional. Fue jefe de la sucursal de Irán de la División de Investigación y Análisis de la Inteligencia de Defensa de Israel. Ha estado en distintos puestos de mando, 25 años de servicio a la inteligencia de Israel. Nos atiende a esta hora. Y la primera pregunta, Ana: Israel dice que ha logrado atacar 900 objetivos en Irán desde que comenzó el conflicto y que ha matado a 11 científicos nucleares. La operación se llama León Ascendente. La primera pregunta para el señor Citrinovics, Ana, es si él cree que con lo sucedido en los últimos días por parte de Israel y por parte de Estados Unidos, se acabó con la posibilidad de Irán y su armamento nuclear.
Good morning, Danny. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio.
Good morning.
Let's begin by asking you, in your opinion, do you believe that what Israel has done and the U.S. has done in the past few days has ended the nuclear program or the nuclear threat that Iran meant to the world?
The short answer is no. Definitely Israel and the U.S. has have great achievements in the attack against the Iranian nuclear array. It destroyed the most of the enrichment facilities, decapitate the scientists working on weaponization. And all in all, the program is highly degraded, and the ability of Iran to reach a nuclear bomb has significantly rolled back. But, and this is a big but, we have to understand or remember two main things. It's one, Iran has an indigenous program, meaning that it can rebuild the program if it wants to. Again, I don't know how much we're going to take them, but if they will set their mind, definitely they can rebuild it. And the second thing, that we still have capabilities that the Israeli and U.S. attack didn't vanish them. For example, the enrichment, 400 kilos of enriched uranium up above 60%. And, of course, the centrifuges that we don't know exactly how much Iran has today. So combining that, theoretically speaking, despite everything that Israel and the U.S. did, Iran still can enrich to 90% military-grade uranium. So we have to wait and see how things will develop. Definitely the achievements to Israel and the USA, but we cannot say that we actually destroyed the program at all.
La respuesta corta es que no, que hay ciertos logros, pero no pueden decir que destruyeron por completo el programa nuclear iraní. Nos dice que, por supuesto, que hay que resaltar esos objetivos positivos que lograron en Irán, tanto Israel como los Estados Unidos, en el ataque. Se logró disminuir y retrasar el programa nuclear iraní de una manera importante. Se retrasó, por supuesto, de manera contundente, se destruyó la capacidad de enriquecimiento en cierta medida, pero nos dice que hay un pero bastante grande, y es que Irán puede reconstruir ese programa nuclear si quiere. No sabe exactamente cuánto tiempo le tomaría, pero podría hacerlo a pesar de todos los ataques de Estados Unidos e Israel. Digamos que esa capacidad de enriquecer uranio aún permanece.
Tras el fallo casi total del sistema de defensa aérea iraní en los últimos días, ¿cree que Teherán pueda replantear su relación con Moscú como socio militar?
Based on the reality of the military equipment in Iran in recent days, do you believe that Iran could be thinking about its military alliance with Moscow again?
That's a good question. We know that there is a good cooperation between Iran and Russia. And definitely the Iranians will try to rebuild their capabilities, so Russia is one of the candidates to help them. But the problem that Russia has is in involved in the war in Ukraine. This is why I think that the Iranians will try to go for the Chinese option. We know that the Iranian defense minister is visiting China these days, probably checking the ability to buy airplanes, fighter jets from China. And I think that we have to look for the China and also the PKK, North Korea, for possibility or enhanced cooperation between Iran and those countries. The bottom line is that Iran didn't surrender. Although everything that happened to it, and although our achievements of Israel in the attacks, Iran is still interested in enhancing its post-buildup, and definitely it will need Russia, but it's China and North Korea to build it. And I think that we, in the next couple of days, weeks and months and even years, we'll see them work into cooperation, both all countries, Iran and the other elements of the Axis, to build Iranian capabilities. Iran won't surrender, as I mentioned, and I think they will have to learn to make the right adjustment given the Israeli and the U.S. superiority in the war, and will try to overcome that by helping or by cooperating with countries like China and Russia.
Es una buena pregunta. Dice que sabemos que hay una buena cooperación entre Irán y Rusia, pero pues Rusia está también pues muy ocupado con su guerra en Ucrania. Entonces China en ese sentido se vuelve también una buena opción para poder comprarles aviones, y pues Corea del Norte también se vuelve un candidato para cooperar con Irán. Irán, por supuesto, lo que sí saben es que no se va a rendir a pesar de todos los ataques que ha sufrido por parte de Estados Unidos e Israel. Él va a seguir construyendo esas alianzas, ya sea con Rusia, con China, con Corea del Norte. En los próximos meses o días vamos a ver qué surgen de esas cooperaciones y esos diálogos que podrían estar teniendo esos países para poder reconstruir esa capacidad nuclear y armamentística de Irán. Lo que sí se sabe es que no se van a rendir y pues van a aprender de esto para hacer los ajustes correctos y poder defenderse mejor en el futuro.
Le pregunto desde Jerusalén, ¿cree que luego del golpe que ha sufrido Irán por parte de Netanyahu y Trump, existe la posibilidad de diagramar un nuevo mapa en Medio Oriente en favor de Israel?
Do you believe that after the hit that Iran has received from Israel and the U.S., there is a possibility of drawing a new map in the Middle East which favors Israel?
I think definitely that's what Israel hopes. Israel hopes that weakening Iran can change the future of the Middle East. Israel can have a normalization process with Saudi Arabia, and maybe ending the war in Gaza and enhancing the circle of peace in terms of having more and more diplomatic cooperation and relations with other Arab and Muslim countries. Unfortunately, I don't think that it will be that easy. Because still the Iranian regime is there, weakened, but there. I think that the Gulf states see the war of Israel and Iran as a problematic one because they were very close for a spillover. They were afraid that they would feel the implication of this war on the negative side, and they see Israel trying to solve all the Middle East problems only by use of force and not political negotiation. And I think regarding the Palestinian issue, I don't see any connection between both. I think that Hamas is independent. And even if we weaken the Iranian regime, I don't see Hamas giving up. And the last but not least, Israel still is not willing to solve the Palestinian issue. Even if we are weakening the Iranian regime, it's not helping us if we are not moving forward politically regarding the Palestinian issue, because that's really the core issue in terms of normalization with Saudi Arabia. So the bottom line is things that Israeli leaders think that, and we'll see Trump and Netanyahu will push that. But I think as long as Israel not giving some compromises to the Palestinian Authority, ending the war in Gaza, we can do whatever we want with Iran. It won't help us to reshape the Middle East, unfortunately.
Pues él no cree que pues esa guerra que hay con la autoridad palestina, o más bien el tema de los palestinos y el asunto palestino, se vaya a resolver con este tema de Irán. Él los ve asuntos absolutamente aparte. Nos dice que independientemente de lo que ocurra con Irán, pues esa negociación con el Estado palestino debe ser de una manera independiente. A los países del Golfo les preocupa muchísimo esta guerra que están viendo, y también están viendo que Israel no quiere solucionar este conflicto de una manera diplomática, no, sino todo por medio de la fuerza. Entonces, él cree que en el fondo Israel pues debe llegar a un compromiso con la autoridad palestina. La autoridad palestina no va a ceder si no acaba esta guerra en Gaza, y pues debilitar a Irán no servirá de nada para poder llegar a un objetivo distinto con Hamas, porque cree que Hamas es independiente a lo que está pasando con Irán.
¿Hasta dónde los ataques que se hicieron sobre Irán debilitan de manera efectiva tanto el poder del Ayatolá como de los guardias de la revolución, o ellos siguen firmes ante el pueblo iraní?
In terms of how has the recent attacks affected the image of the Ayatollah and of the Iranian military, do you believe that, you know, to the people in Iran, they are still as powerful as they were before this latest attacks?
I think what we discovered in the recent attack that there is no replacement to the Iranian regime. Yes, the Ayatollah and its regime suffering from legitimacy problems. But I think that what they able to transform the attack, the Israeli attacks, to be perceived as attacks against Iran and not against the regime itself. And I think Israel made a mistake by attacking facilities that are not connected to regime directly, in terms of people understood that it's a war against Iran. So I think looking into the future, I don't see any alternative now for the Islamic Republic of Iran. Israel maybe try to change the regime in Iran, but there is no opposition can really replace the current regime. And I think that we have to face this regime for the long run. I don't know what will happen when Khamenei will die, but definitely until then, I don't see any foreseeable change despite the Israeli attacks.
Lo que descubrieron con el ataque reciente es que el régimen de Irán no tiene un reemplazo a la vista, no es fácilmente reemplazable. Nos dice que están sufriendo, sí, internamente un problema de legitimidad, pero pues Israel cometió un error desde su punto de vista en atacar puntos, no, digamos, esos objetivos que no están relacionados directamente con el régimen. Entonces las personas en Irán están entendiendo que es una guerra contra el país en general. Entonces, mirando en el futuro, él no ve una alternativa a ese cambio de régimen. Nos dice que sin duda, pues si Israel quiere cambiar el régimen, pues debe cambiar de cierta manera una posición o hacer algo más, porque él no ve una salida distinta a la muerte de Khamenei.
Él nos dijo al principio que los bombardeos fueron efectivos, pero están lejos de haber destruido el programa nuclear iraní. Muchos consideran que al final la única salida va a ser una salida diplomática, esa posibilidad, pero que con estos ataques se hace todavía más difícil. ¿Él piensa todavía que hay posibilidad para un acuerdo nuclear con Irán después de esto, diplomático después de esto?
Some people believe that even if the nuclear capabilities of Iran were affected, there's still, you know, space for it to grow again. And some people believe that the only solution to this problem is going to be through diplomacy. Do you believe that after what has been lived through the past 2 weeks, there is still a possibility of diplomacy, of getting a new nuclear agreement involving Iran?
Well, yes, there is a possibility. We know that the Americans and the Iranian envoys, Witkoff and Arkshid, Iranian foreign minister, are trying to renew the negotiation. It's not going to be easy because of the fact that the Iranians, despite everything that happened, they're not willing to give up not the fourth buildup of the missiles and not enriching on the Iranian soil. So I don't see, I'm not optimistic in terms of the ability to reach an agreement. But definitely there is a need to reach an agreement because the current situation is very, very unstable. Because Israel is threatening Iran that if Iran will build its capabilities, the nuclear and the conventional, it will bomb it again. It's a problem because the Iranians intend to do so. So without an agreement that will allow us to know where to enrich uranium and will set things and laws and maybe conditions that will know exactly how the Iranians are going to behave in terms of setting some sort of rule of the game. Without that, everything is unstable in a way that everything that Iran will do, Israel must retaliate. So the chances of reaching an agreement are not slim or not big, but if we're not going to reach an agreement, the situation will remain unstable and the clashes between Iran and Israel might renew in the foreseeable future.
Dice que pues es necesario un acuerdo entre los estadounidenses, entre los iraníes, porque si no la situación va a ser bastante incierta en el terreno. Obviamente él no es optimista sobre esa negociación que busca renovar los Estados Unidos, porque él no ve cómo los iraníes van a renunciar a la construcción de misiles, no ven cómo van a renunciar al enriquecimiento de uranio. Entonces en ese sentido no es optimista, pero pues sí cree que es necesario para darle mucha más estabilidad a la región. Nos dice que Israel está amenazando a Irán Irán con bombardear si pues vuelve a haber esa reconstrucción de su sistema nuclear. Y pues sin un acuerdo también va a ser bastante incierto qué va a hacer Irán exactamente con su proyecto nuclear. Entonces él cree que ese acuerdo es necesario para que haya más estabilidad en la región.
Ana, él es un experto en seguridad nacional, tiene toda la experiencia. Le quiero cambiar el tema. La noticia en este momento es lo que están haciendo los soldados de Israel con los palestinos que están buscando comida en los puntos de comida. Los están matando, van más de 400. ¿Cuál es la opinión del señor Sitinovich?
We are going to change the subject a bit, and we wanted to, you know, ask you based on your experience in national security. The news today has to do with what's happening with Palestinians. They are being killed as they are trying to reach points in which they are trying to get food, and Israel soldiers are killing them at those locations. What is your opinion about this? More than 400 Palestinians have been killed under these scenarios as they were trying to gather some food.
Well, two things. For as I know, the Israeli army, nobody is aiming directly to kill civilians. Unfortunately, the situation in Gaza is troubling because Hamas is still controlling the population and still trying to take over any humanitarian aid that's entering to Gaza. And that creates a lot of mayhem, and unfortunately within that mayhem, and because of Hamas is using the population as a human shield, as civilians are being killed. But I don't think, I'm actually sure that no one is in Israel directly want to kill civilians. Having said that, there is a growing need to stop the war in Gaza. This war is a problematic one in terms of the fact that Israel, I think, achieved most of its objectives. Hamas is highly weakened. And we need to work with the international community, with Arab states, to reach an agreement that will stop the war, eliminate Hamas rule in Gaza, and allow moderate forces from the Palestinians to take over Gaza. And that will allow us also to renegotiate normalization with Saudi Arabia. Until we not could do so, we will continue the war in Gaza. Unfortunately, we will suffer from legitimacy problems. Civilians will be killed. And this is not of the interest, not of Israel and not of the Palestinians for sure. So I hope that the current discussion in Cairo between Hamas and Egyptians, and of course the involvement of the Steve Witkoff, the American emissary, will allow at the end to find a solution that will be acceptable by Hamas and by Israel, and thus closing this war that is a devastating war that causing civilians to be killed, and I hope that this is what will happen in the foreseeable future, because if not, then I don't see optimistic developments toward the future in Gaza Strip.
Mr. Sitinovich, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
¿Qué dijo al final sobre la nueva masacre que está cometiendo Israel en los puntos de entrega de comida a los gazatíes que están buscando un plato de comida? ¿Qué dijo al final?
Primero, aclarar que el ejército de Israel no mata civiles porque buscan hacerlo o porque pretenden hacerlo. Nos dice que la situación en Gaza es bastante perturbadora, pero porque Hamas controla a la población, porque Hamas busca controlar esa ayuda humanitaria que está entrando y eso genera mucho caos. Hamas está usando a esas personas y civiles como escudos humanos y eso deriva en la muerte de muchos civiles. Pero Israel no pretende matar civiles, no es la intención, no es lo que buscan, pero sí reconoce que hay una necesidad de parar la guerra en contra de Hamas porque resulta bastante problemático. Ya han cumplido la mayoría de los objetivos en la franja de Gaza, ya Hamas está mucho más debilitado, debe llegar a un acuerdo con los estados árabes y pues buscan eliminar también a Hamas y pues buscar también una fuerza moderada de palestinos que pueda controlar la franja de Gaza. Entonces eso los ayudaría también a renegociar la normalización con Arabia Saudita o más bien enfocarse en eso. Nos dice que la guerra en Gaza pues resulta para ellos un problema de legitimidad, están muriendo civiles, ellos no quieren que mueran civiles, no es el interés de los israelíes, tampoco de los palestinos. Entonces hay que llegar a un acuerdo lo antes posible para darle un cierre a esta guerra.